Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Jonathan Pearce.
Eric Cantona has jumped in and seen a kung fu kick. A fan.
Terry Alderton.
Do you like shoes, madam?
And friends. JP.
The mad side of genius.
And T.
Good to meet you, love.
The football friendly.
Welcome everyone, to the first JP and T, the football friendly of 2024. New year, Terry Alderton, same old problems. Before we go on, and you can introduce our guest, we have to say, send out our condolences to the family of Ian Purslow, the Bolton fan who sadly died. He had a heart attack in the home game against Cheltenham. People would have seen the story, the game was halted and sadly passed. He was a lifelong fan, say Bolton, and he was with his son Stuart, so... All our commiserations out to that family.
I find that's terrible news, and also that seems to be more common in the last 3 or 4 years than ever. This going on in the stands and on the pitch. I don't want to bring up conspiracy.
No, it used to happen in the old days, but it's just now they stop games for it now, and they get the medical staff.
Do you know? I'll tell you something. In the old days, and this is not making light of it in any way, but when they used to do summer seasons, you know, like so the likes of Bobby Davro and Jim Davidson and all those people play on the end of a pier, right? They used to have a sort of a sweepstake about how many they'd lose because a lot of old people would obviously go in the hot sun in the theatres. And that's no lie either.
Goodness me. Anyway, on we go with better news. Introduce our guest to everyone, Tel.
Oh, you got the best guest today. I haven't seen him in ages. He's a brilliant comedian. Fine stand-up comedian. He goes by the name of Nathan Caton. And also, he's a massive Brentford fan. So we are going to talk lower league Brentford, higher league Brentford, and comedy with the wonderful Nathan Caton. How are you, my lovely?
I'm good, man. How you guys doing?
Very good, thank you. Had that 100-day cough, still got it.
You're busy at the moment, Nathan. You're busy. You can't kick in at the moment, start of the year.
Yeah, man. Yeah, well, I'm always busy, man. Like I say to my wife, I don't have a social life, I have a gig list.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, just constant gigs, keeping busy, paying bills, you know, making people laugh.
It's about no better way, isn't it? Really,
we're all the same, Nathan. I just go to games, do games. Prep for games and can't tell you anything about what's going on in life. I can tell you he's had a groin strain over the last 3 weeks, and that's about it. We need to talk straight away. A massive week for your football club, Brentford, with the game against Forest coming up at the weekend. It's a game they need to win. We don't know the point situation with Forest after that. It's going to be later on after we've done this today that they're going to know whether or not they're going to be docked points. So Everton will know whether they're going to be docked more points. We could have four teams in the bottom of the league with less than 16 points at this stage of the season. So we don't know the situation, but let's go on and say it's a game your team need to win. And of course you'll have Ivan Toney back, presumably, Nathan. You must be looking forward to that.
Mate, his return is like, oh my goodness, like Jesus could come back and I wouldn't be as excited. But Ivan Toney, I'm like, dude, we need this guy, man, because injuries have kind of just wrecked. I mean, I know there's a lot of clubs who've had like injury average seasons, but we don't have the squad depth to cope with the kind of injuries that we've had. We've had like, you could say probably like the first 11 all out through injury or suspensions. So his return, yeah, massive for us. And yeah, it's a game that we need to win now, because like we started the season thinking, all right, man, mid-table, you know, like repeat of last season, yeah, cool. And now it's like, yo, man, the championship is getting kind of close, isn't it? Woof. So yeah, but he, welcome return.
Go on, Jonathan. I was going to say, I remember watching him when he played for Peterborough, and he was unbelievable then. I mean, me and my son used to sit there going, he's not going to stay in this league. Then, of course, he went on. But can I ask the question of being really the thicko in the corner here? What went on? I know he got done for the gambling, right? And then he got banned, but I didn't even realise he'd been banned. I only do a football podcast, so I don't even know the story. What happened?
So he was found to be making bets on football matches. Not matches that he was playing in, but there were some of the games that he betted on were his team when he weren't playing.
Right.
But obviously, that's still against the rules. And I think it was like 200 and something.
232 plus 262 in all, because they added another 30. Talking, just going back to November 2022, February of last year, he admitted them, and he was banned for the 8 months. And fined £50,000. The offences took place between 2017 and 2021, so some of them are historic. And as you've just said, he bet 29 times on his own team games. He bet 13 times on his own team to lose. Didn't play in any of those games. And it's very important here to say that the regulatory commission concluded he was not a match fixer, but 262 bets were against football regulations, because you cannot have one bet as a footballer. And I know that Brentford think he was hard done, but there are other players out there at the moment. Tonali's banned for Newcastle United for a lot of bets. Harry Toffolo, his ban was suspended. That was historic bets going back loads and loads of years. He said he didn't know. I'm sorry, boys, I'm not having it. Footballers know they can't bet. I was a coach for a decade, and I used to say to my young players, you can't bet because you're under FA rules. And as a coach at that level, I wasn't allowed to bet on game. You cannot do it. And they all know. So he broke the rules and he was banned for it. It's hard for Brentford, really hard for Brentford, but they've got to suck it up and get on with it. And that's what they've done as a football club. That's what they've done. Thomas Frank's a remarkable man for me,
yes.
Nathan.
Yeah, I like Thomas Frank.
Yeah. Listen, Thomas Frank, okay, he is on my hall pass list. Like, I'm not of that persuasion, but I've told my wife, like, if I were to ever go there, Thomas Frank would be that guy. And my wife's gone, yeah, I understand that. That's cool. You can do it.
For those who don't know, he's Christian Knowles, isn't he?
Sorry?
I said, for those who don't know, nobody knows. It's only for me and Nate Kane. There's an agent called Christian Knowles. He's Christian Knowles.
Oh, if you know, you know.
You know, you know. Yeah, look up Christian Knowles.
He's, you know, he's. I think he said, you know, there needs to be more education. There needs to be. He needs to have had more support than he did. The way it was reported and leaked, I don't think was right. You know, that was wrong in the first place. And everyone knew it was going to happen. Everyone knew he was going to get banned before it happened. Yeah. I thought that was all a little bit sludgy. But one thing I'll say about this, Nathan, is that. I think Toffolo's been allowed to train with his football club all the way through. And Ivan...
Thank you.
He wasn't allowed to train. He only came back training in, what was it, December, wasn't it? So I can't quite understand that.
Yeah.
The discrepancy.
I didn't get that. I was gonna ask you guys, like, what do you think? Because, like, why is he not allowed to train? He's not going to be playing any competitive matches, but just train and stay fit for when he is going to return.
The punishment is you're banned from all football activities for a period of time. So that's what he suffered. But why didn't the others, you know, why didn't it happen to the other ones? So I don't really get it. And it won't be the last. We haven't heard the last of it. I mean, it's come at a very unfortunate, came at a very unfortunate time for him, because he was just getting into the England setup. Has he got enough time now to get back into the England setup before the Euros? Some people will say he shouldn't play for England again because of this, but he's done the punishment for me. He's done the punishment.
He's only had a punt, hasn't he? I mean, come on, I know he's not supposed to have done that, but it's not like it's not.
Oh,
a
you can't
deal,
tell. You can't.
He's not.
I'm sorry. You can't. It's for me. It's one of the worst things in football if a player bets.
Well, yeah. All right. Well, if he's betting against his own team, that's a bit naughty.
Yeah.
But I suppose betting's betting. But anyway, going back to, I didn't know these other clubs were going into point deductions. I did not know that.
Well, we'll find out. By the time people hear this, we'll know what's happened. Yeah, and again, that's not going to be the last of it. There will be others as well. But what they're now going to do is they've said that the punishment will fit the period of the financial irregularity. So if it was this season, then the punishment will fit this season. Everton have always complained, Everton fans, that their 10-point deduction referred to previous years. So why wasn't it done then? Mm. And, you know, they were the first ones really to get hit by this. I'll tell you what, though, boys, this is going to impact around Europe in a big way because we've seen no transfer activity at all, really, in this window. And the clubs are fighting shy at the moment because they all of a sudden they're seeing the Premier League go, bang, we will hit you with these penalties. And again, they knew these things were going to come. They've been given 2 or 3 years, whatever it was, the last 2 or 3 years, maybe longer than that, to get the houses in order. So they knew if they didn't, this was going to come. And now the Premier League are going, bang, it is going to happen. And other clubs and other leagues around the country, around Europe, are thinking, hang on a minute, if the Premier League are doing it, our league will start doing it, UEFA will start doing it heavily. So we need to be a little bit more careful with the way we conduct our transfers. And I think that's one of the reasons why we're seeing a very sluggish transfer. There are other reasons, of course, global economy and what have you. But I think that is a contributory factor because we're not seeing anything. I mean, you know, what happens, Nathan, if Ivan Toney leaves your football club in the next 10 days or so, what happens if he goes to an Arsenal for a million?
That's a good question.
I don't think he will. if he does, you will.
You're going to find him.
See me at any gigs.
You're going to find him.
Yeah, exactly. Like, right. I'm going to be on the hunt. But bring yourself home. You're going to find me at home crying in a fetal position if he leaves.
Nah.
I don't think we'll let him go because if this has gone to AFCON and Mbeumo's out injured. Sharday still injured. Lewis Potter and Maupai are only attackers. I don't think... And he's come out and he said last week, he did an interview saying that he wants to be paid Brentford. So I think he'll stay at least until the summer. And then in the summertime, he's free to do...
Yeah, that's exactly my thinking, Nathan, is that if he's been out for all this time, he sort of owes the club. But I suppose he can just walk, though, can't he, if he wanted? I mean...
You can't walk.
I mean...
No,
but before, he's not out of contract yet. We put a price tag on him. But I don't think anyone's going to pay the money. I think
yes, but if they're going to ask the money for him. So what you're saying is if Frank gets offered the money, he's going to say, right, I want to keep you for the rest of the year first. Let's get ourselves out of trouble, as it were, and then maybe you can go.
Yeah.
Is that what we're thinking?
I think the sensible thing to do is wait till the summertime. Yeah. You know, come back into the team, score a bag load of goals, save us, you know, get into the England squad, possibly. And then after that, you're going to have... more clubs coming for you, and then you can take a pick and you can go.
I've met him a couple of times, you know, and he's very confident. When I've met him, I found him very funny, and you know, he's got sharp wit, and I'd be surprised if he doesn't want to repay Brentford, you know, because they've kept paying him and during this ban, and so I would be surprised if he goes in this window. I'd be surprised if Arsenal, the ones linked with him, have been historically linked with him, but they'd have to pay 120, something like that. I can't see it happening. It's not a market at the moment to spend that sort of money. I know they need a centre forward.
That's quite mad, isn't it? And Nate, you thinking that 2 minutes ago you were down in the same league as me. Now I'm in the nothing league. You're in the Premier League, and now you're talking about players 110 million being sold from your club, and you're going, yeah, we'd want that. I mean, you imagine this like 5 years ago, 6 years ago, you'd be jumping around a room.
A decade ago, you could have bought the whole town for £100 million.
you could have, because we all share a goalkeeper, boys. You realise that, don't you? We all share a goalie. Anyone want to hazard the guess what keeper it is?
Are you talking about Smith?
No, he went from me to you, Nathan, to Jonathan, to somewhere else now.
Mate, Jonathan, who's your team?
Bristol City.
Who?
Oh.
Come on, he's got it.
Oh, gosh. Blonde guy.
He's at Wolves.
Dan Bentley.
Dan Bentley.
We all share Dan Bentley. There you go.
He didn't get a game up there, does he? Wolves. Not really. He's had a couple.
Good keeper,
think,
mate.
But
he's had a couple. He's a fine goalkeeper. He shouldn't be sitting on a bench. It's a waste.
I'm at Bristol City. This is what I'm doing, the FA Cup replay against West Ham tomorrow night. So I'm looking forward to going down there, meet some of the old first teamers. So I never got near the first team, but they you know, I wasn't good enough, and but they all treat me as if I, you know, they've known me since I was little. I mean, I'm talking, you know, some of them know me since I was 9 or 10, and they all treat me as if I played 500 games. It's remarkable. I love going down there and seeing them.
Are you going down as a punter, no, or are you commentating on it? Oh, how can you commentate on your own team?
Really?
I'll tell you what, I've only done it a couple of times. I did a playoff, promotion playoff. Can't remember who they played now, someone from up north. That was for the radio, and people said I was too critical about them. Then I did them in an FA Cup tie at Sheffield United, and people said I was too critical. And then I did them last season against Man City in the FA Cup, and people said I was overcritical of them, and I probably am. But you just put it to one side. People say, how can you put it to one side? You can, because that's your job. And, you know, it'd be interesting. West Ham haven't got any players because they've one or two away in Africa, on the African Cup of Nations, and they got Bowen out injured, they got Paquetá out injured, so be interesting that one. How, you know, they're still in Europe as well, so... And they're pushing for Europe again in the league, so it'd be interesting to see how that one goes. I am interested, though, Nathan, in your love of Brentford. When did that start?
Oh, when I was in high school. So I've always been into football from, like, when I was about 5, but I didn't know Brentford were a team because I didn't have I'm the eldest. I didn't have an older brother to tell me. So my godfather, he got to me first. He was a Man United fan. So he was like, okay, listen, that's for Man United. That's what you do. So I just thought, all right, cool. I just followed him. And then in high school, I remember Brentford, they do like a lot of like community work. And they came into my school for like a sports day, put on like some 5-a-side matches. And I played, and I think I got like a man of the match medal or something. Right? Because I was the rock at the back. Because I'm fast and I'm big, but I can't shoot to save my life. So I'll just go to the back. I'll just stay there and block people. And then I was like, oh, Brentford. That's like near Ealing, isn't it? Because I'm from Greenford, if anyone knows. And then I was like, oh, they're a team. So I remember, like on a Monday, you could buy the paper and had the pullouts on all the leagues.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I knew they weren't in the Premier League. So I'm looking in like it would have been Division 1 then. Right? And I'm looking, can't find Brentford. Looking Division 2, scroll down, can't find Brentford. Look at Division 3, scroll down, oh, there's Brentford. And that's why I realised I never heard of them, because they were like on the borders of like Division 3 and non-league. But from that point, I just kind of kept an eye on them because they were the local team. And then when I got to a point where I was old enough to go, because my mum wouldn't let me go by myself, I went to my little brother, and that was it. It was like, even though the football was awful at the time, like just hoof ball for like 90 minutes, like just like, do they ever put the ball on the deck? Just constant, just oof. But because I was there and it was my local, I was like, okay, this is it.
Yeah. And I remember several times Southend playing Brentford, and they would always sing, "We'll never play you again. We'll never play you," because they used to hump us every time. It was one team I know would get beaten. I think we played you home and away one season, and you beat us 4-0 in both games. And I can't remember who it was, but someone scored a hat trick in both games, and one of them was a wicked overhead kick. And I can't remember the player, to be fair. When you started supporting, Kevin Locke wasn't the manager, was he?
No. So we had, I think, Ron Nodes.
Oh, Ron Nodes, yes! Yeah, Ron Nodes! What a character.
Yeah.
What a character!
Manager, chairman, owner, god. Every title possible, he had it.
Ron Nodes, I remember him coming to Southend as Brentford manager. I've told this story before, but I'll tell it again. He was up in the dugout, and when you're up in the dugout at Southend, it was up in the director's box, which is above the dugout, and you have to sort of go down, across towards the fans, then down into the dugout, right? Okay, that kind of makes some sort of sense. And this was the time everything was going on, like you said. And as he walked across, a Southend fan said, "Who are you going to leave next then, Ron?" And he dropped his glasses and went, "I left your wife this morning." He did say that, I swear he said it. And he just walked on, it was brilliant. It was like, woo-woo, wah-wah-wah. He was funny. What was he like, Jonathan, Ron knows? Was he a proper sharky character?
They used to say that he had a turnstile, didn't they, at Sellers Park, Ron's turnstile. whether that was true, I don't know. But, I always found him, he was always...
Cash only. Yeah,
he was very good to me, and I was quite close to Palace at the time, because I was at Capital Gold, and it was the Stevie Coppell era, and they got to the cup final and finished third in the league, and, you know, Bright Wright, Jeff Thomas, all those players, Andy Gray, and They had some really good players, and I had great fun with them. And so, yeah, Ron's wife, Novella, and I remember at Villa Park when it's funny, actually, that game, the Villa Park semi-final against Liverpool, because people say for years and years and years afterwards, oh, I loved your commentary. We still play a commentary of that game. We didn't do it. Capital Gold didn't do it.
Oh, really?
Because the programme director, Richard Park, at the time, they'd been beaten up at Liverpool. Remember that season they'd lost 9 up at Liverpool? And so he thought it was going to be a slaughter. So we did, and it was live on television. We didn't do the game. And so were those people, they had the commentary in their dreams or nightmares. Anyway, so at the end, I went round. I just went as a, you know, as a, in sat in the press seats, didn't do any work. But then went round afterwards, and Ron immediately took me into the dressing room. Champagne was flying. So that was my that's my memory of Ron. He was, you know, you hear stories from players about the transfer dealings and dodgy things that went on. But he was a man of his time, and that happened all the time. And,
yeah. That world doesn't exist anymore, does it? It just doesn't exist.
It's done for me these days. There were deals between chairmen. There were deals between chairmen that were questionable. Now there's, you know, the game is run by agents. The game is run by two. The modern game of football, Premier League football 23-24, is run by two people. The agents, two different sorts of people. The agents and the VAR. Let's not have any doubt about it. We thought it was going to change. We keep saying, oh, it's going to get better. And until the VARs stop telling the referee what decision to make, it will not get better.
Yeah. What happened yesterday in the game? Is it the Man United game? Who went steaming through on someone's ankle? It was a blatant sending off, and they went, no, it's all right. And I was like, well, what's the point of this? I can't remember who it was. My story's terrible because I don't even know what I'm on about. But someone went over the top of someone. I can't remember who it was.
Yeah, but on the other hand, people were screaming for Tarkowski to be sent off for the Everton challenge against Villa. I just thought it was a proper old-fashioned challenge. I just thought he's gone in and he's won the ball.
Actually, that's the game I'm on about. It wasn't Man United. It was that game. Yes,
I did PSG last night against Lens, right? And there's a lovely run by a PSG player called Bradley Barker, whose young player's getting better all the time. And it's a lovely shimmy dummy run into the edge of the penalty area. And he was taken out right on the edge of the penalty area, just outside the penalty area. So it's a clear bookable offence, and the player's got booked. And then as soon as you saw the replay, you're thinking, because when it first happened, you weren't aware of whether the covering defender on the left-hand side would have got there. You weren't really aware of him at all, to be honest. And as soon as you've seen the replay, you're thinking, oof, I wonder if that's denial of a goal-scoring opportunity. Bang, the referee gets called to the screen. Bang, the referee looks at the screen. Bang, he sends him off. Correct decision. And it happened like that. That quick. And the referee.
Well, so you're saying if it's done quicker, it doesn't matter. It's not the controversy. Is not there in France. It's just done quicker.
It is, but also I gather that they're not told. You don't hear. No one hears. No public hears what the VAR says. We can in the commentary position. We get a feed of it, so we will often hear the VAR saying, go to the screen and you will see that the Crystal Palace 6 is serious foul play or violent conduct on the Everton 10, whatever it is. And the decision, you know, your decision should be a sending off. Now, that's all wrong for me. You know, I don't, Nathan, you give your opinion on this as a punter, because I think that then the referee is prejudicial. He's going to go over and he knows what decision he's got to make, but he's got to... Yeah. It should just be, go and see your screen.
What do you think of it, Nathan? Because I hate it. We've discussed it so many times.
I'm not a fan. I think it could be implemented better, which maybe would make fans like it more. But I don't like how, like, if you're in the stand, if you're in stadium, you don't know what's going on. You're sat there watching a purple screen going, possible red card, and like, okay, what? Right. But also, I don't like how referees it doesn't really happen, but referees, they never just stick to their guns. They always have to, like, they're always led by what VAR says. It's like, okay, he's going to go to the screen. You know what's going to happen. Like, why don't referees have the confidence to, like, no, I saw that, and that's what I think. That's my decision. And also, like, I don't think VAR should intervene like butting in. I think it should be like in cricket or something. When the referee, if the referee's unsure, then they go to VAR, as opposed to VAR jumping in. Then let the referees ref the game. That's why they're there.
Yeah, you're saying if he's not sure, he can then call on VAR. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, no, exactly. Like, as opposed to VAR going, oh, excuse me, I think you missed this. Like, let the referee do their job.
Yeah, I like that. It's like yesterday with the goalkeeper, wasn't it, at Man City. He's gone and got injured because they don't put the flag up because they have to wait now, don't they?
Yeah.
So now he's gone and we've discussed that many a time. I think we need to take a break, actually, Jonathan Pearce.
The Football Friendly.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back to JP and T, the Football Friendly.
I'll tell you a great name yesterday watching Man City. Oscar Bob. What a great name that
he's
is.
He's got a good
Oscar
a good goal
Bob,
as
he's
well.
Got to be a superstar. What a player. He's got to be a superstar being called Oscar Bob, isn't he? Come on.
Bob.
Mate, yeah, Bob.
Johnny English, you know. When it was, it's just sort of cohort, isn't it? In the, and he goes Bob. Or no? Or was that?
That's Blackadder. Blackadder.
That is, yeah, Blackadder.
It's Blackadder when he goes Bob. But you know why he does that, don't you? You know why Rowan Atkinson over articulates? No. It's because he has a terrible stammer.
Get away.
Oh, is it?
No, he's got a really bad stammer. Yeah,
Bob.
Yeah, that's some, and apparently quite an appendage on him as well. There we go.
That.
I don't. That's the rumours of showbiz: a stammer and a big willy. There you go.
There's a number of people you've mentioned on this podcast over the years. So,
about their penis sizes.
Is this a hobby? Is this?
Mate, don't. What do you do at the Edinburgh Festival?
Don't go in the loo with Terry. Who's coming for a wee? Oh, everyone thinks I'm a cokehead, but it's nothing to do with that. Just go and look at people's wee.
It's a great sitcom in the making. Terry and his unfeasibly large penises.
Terry and he's willy looking. Yeah, people. Do you know how many people come up to you though, like generally women, and ask about penis size with comics? I've had that happen several times.
Do you know?
What? Yeah, I have. I remember someone coming to me about Stephen Amos. Was probably I was trying to say to the lady, probably not go there, love. But you know, and she was going, I've heard he's got a massive willy. Can you ask him to show me?
See,
like I'm going to rock up to Stephen and go, yeah, Steve, listen. literally, you've got a big knob. Can you show her?
That's never happened in the world of commentary. Weird. I don't think that's ever happened.
Do you know what though? On this subject, we really should get off here, but. So he used to be a player called Keith Dublin, played for Southend. Remember, he used to be a centre back
for Chelsea.
Chelsea. And Dubbers used to have to tape his pants up.
Oh
no, he used to have to do that. He used to have to tie himself up with tape because he would he might go in for a challenge and he might show himself off. I remember saying to Paul Stalteri once, there was a player who played for Tottenham, I can't remember who it was, and I said to him, there was a rumour gone around that he had a penis extension, and I said to Stalteri about it, he goes, I'm going to check that out, right? And then I said to him, well, what about so-and-so and so-and-so? And he went, oh yeah, I forgot to tell you. He goes, well, if he has, he needs to get a refund. I mean, I could go on. I don't know how I know all these things, but apparently Frank Lampard's loaded as well.
I remember the level I played at.
Keith Dublin as well, you know, Dubbers is famous for having a big old turnout.
I was a very clean player when I played at the level I played at.
Look at the way he just completely dismissed that.
It's still linked to the same penis
appendage.
trans fiction that you've got, but the level I play there.
Nathan thinks he's coming for a football podcast, and we just lured him in on this penis.
The level I play there, and I was a very dirty player, and anyway, so this player, he's tried to top me, and he thought he was really hard. He thought he was a really hard man. And so he comes in for a challenge on me, and I slid underneath him. And as I slid underneath him, I put my hand right up his shorts, grabbed the aforementioned part of his body, and yanked it really, really hard. And I said, "You think you're really hard? I'll tell you what, you won't be hard in that way for several months, son." And then walked away.
Yeah.
And left him weeping.
Was he hard?
But there you are. Anyway, Nathan, let's get back to take Terry off his favourite topic. And you're going to stay up, Nathan?
Favourite topic.
I think it'll stay up by default because Burnley, Sheffield United and Luton, no disrespect, but I think they're...
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yeah, I think they're really bad. So I think we'll stay up, but purely by the fact that they are three worse teams than us.
I think Luton Town have got a chance of staying up.
Don't say that. I don't want to hit... No, don't... Nah.
I think they've got real spirit about them. The points deduction will come into play with all the teams that are affected, but I think Luton have got a chance of staying up. I think Crystal Palace are need to steer themselves to safety. They're over-reliant on Elise and...
Yeah.
And, you know, unless they score, who's going to get them a goal? So... I think Palace, they go to Arsenal this weekend as well. It's a game I'm doing for Match of the Day, and I think they could be caught by a team. Luton Town, they've just got an extraordinarily low level of points, those bottom three teams, and it's really unusual for this stage of the season to see the three of them down there. I think one of them might get away.
Well, yeah, but you've got a game in hand over them as well, as we stand talking at this moment in time.
Okay, do you know who the games are against?
Oh, go on.
Okay, so we've got Forest on the weekend and Man City, exactly.
Yeah, well, Forest, they're on a bit of a rub at the moment, aren't they?
Exactly, man.
Yeah, but Ivan's back, though. No, Ivan's back.
Script.
Come on.
The script is already written for the weekend, surely, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. He's got a hat-trick. Hat-trick, Ivan Toney.
I've got Brentford to win by 1-0, and Ivan Toney will get the goal. Okay. So
I
think
you'll
be all right,
now.
Nathan. Honestly, I think I think you've got good players. I think you've got good players there.
Yeah, we've got good players, but they've been injuries and suspensions. We haven't had a chance to have like our best first 11 together. Probably all season.
Let's not forget the last five games you've lost as well.
I think Mopé's an irritant to defenders. People criticise him because he doesn't get goals, but he's an irritant to defenders. I think young Lewis Potter's a good player in the making.
Lewis Potter's great. Yeah, Mopé is an irritant to not just the other players, but to the fans sometimes. Like, mate, put it in the back of the net. Spend less time yapping away to the defender. Just get on the end of something.
Well, that's the thing. When you see someone playing all the time, you get those niggles because you can, like you just said, I go, oh, he's a good player. Then you go, well, yeah, is he? Is he? So there you are. Well,
how
said,
high
Nathan.
Do you rate Christian Norgaard? Yeah,
brilliant player. Brilliant. Like, he's so integral to how we play. He's like that glue that kind of intercepts or gets the ball off the defenders and sprays it out to the players who do stuff. Yeah, he's great. And he's a leader as well. Like when he's not playing, similar to Ivan Toney, that you notice how good he is when he's not playing.
And here's one for you. One of the most underrated players in the Premier League for me is Ethan Pinnock. He's played at every level. He's played at every level. Likes of Dulwich Hamlet, Forest Green, all the way up through. And I just think for what he does for the football club, he's one of these sort of, he's better than a 7 out of 10 every week. I just think he's very, very solid. And one of the most underrated players in the league for me.
As soon as you said underrated, I was like, yeah, he's the waving for it. Yeah. He's a brick at the back. And he gets the odd goals every now and again as well. Great player for us. And he's got that balance because he's left-footed. So if you play someone like, I don't know, Nathan Collins or Christopher Ayer on the other side, he's got a good balance to our defence.
What about this Yunus that's coming in? Yunus, is it Konak? Is he Turkish or has he come from a Turkey club? I can't remember.
I think both. I think he's Turkish as well. Only 18, though, so I have to see.
Yeah, he's a baby, isn't he?
Yeah, man. Gosh, 18. My goodness,
18,
man.
I still think you're 18. I still think you're a baby. Because when he started, he was a baby, yeah. Right, Jonathan? And I still think he's that baby to me. You're still only in your 30s, though, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm in my 30s, but even still, like... Yeah, but... I'm close to 40.
Mate, so. I'm well past that. But that's what I'm saying to you, to me, you still are that 18 year old comedian that I saw with those Donaldson dreads, as we used to say years ago.
Yeah, man. Yeah, a lot of people think that, like, that, and I'm still young, because one of my quotes says, you know, young comedian. Like, I'm not young anymore. Can you take the young bit off? I'm just a comedian now. I had
someone about 3 years ago introduced me as up-and-coming comedian. At this time, I was 50.
Take it. Take it all day.
Up-and-coming.
Take it all
day. I've been around the block.
I'm on a tube the other day. A lady gets up for me to sit down. She's got to have been about 70. She said, sit down now. Yeah, you need to see. Hang on a minute. And I did this game last night, right? Lance brought on this young substitute. He did well, actually. He's a player called Shishuba. And they brought him on, and then the cameras closed in on his face. You know, to me, he looked as if he was 7, but he did really well. But they got a player called Warren Zaire-Emery at PSG, played right back last night.
Oh, yeah.
He's only 17, so I think he turns 18 in March, but he's extraordinary. And one of the differences between the league and the Premier League is because it's a lower level league, it's more of a developmental league, they can throw him in earlier. So, you know, Tchouaméni and these players are now at Real Madrid, you know, and this kid, Warren Zaire-Emery, have been thrown in early, and they get the game, you know, they're going to get, he's going to be, he'll have played about 100 games, 150 games by the time he's 19. And it's just...
How old is Tchouaméni now? He's not that old, and he's played in World Cups.
Well, look at your man Mbappe. I mean, he's now in his, obviously, yeah, in his mid-20s, but he came through as a 70. I saw him when he was 70.
He's only
mid-20. Having said that, I saw Shearer as a 17-year-old, scoring a hat-trick. And it just doesn't happen so often in the English game. That's what I'm saying. I wish it did. I wish they were given more chance. They're more, they're less keen to throw the youngsters in because they're terrified.
Yeah. But in saying that, look at Ten Hag's put in Maynou at United. Mm. He looks... composed midfield. He's at, what, 18, is he? Right.
Yeah, see, they've let that Hannibal go out on loan.
Nacho is only 19 as well.
Hannibal's gone out on loan to Spanish football. I can't stand that. And they'll have an option to buy permanently. I like him, Hannibal. I think he gave Manchester United energy and commitment and passion when a lot of the senior players haven't shown enough of that this season.
Yeah, but that mask he has to wear around his face and being chained to that thing they have to push him around on. That don't work for him. Yeah, I'll tell you what I love as well. Here's another joke I'm going to cram in. I love the Liverpool player in the midfield because he's named after my favourite BMX trick. I was really good at endos. No, I was, though. As soon as I saw his name, I went, I'm great at endos.
0 week, folks.
They got... I'm here all my life in my own head. But anyway, there we are. There we are. Well, all right. Well, that brings us to... Are we at the end? Are we at the end today?
Let's have one wish. One wish for 2024. We haven't done this yet. One wish for 2024, Nathan.
Brentford survival.
You'll do that easy.
Southend United do make the playoff, which they can, because they're only 6 points out of it, and get promoted back into the Football League.
Bristol City win the FA Cup. Then they win the Europa League. Then they go into the Champions League and win that. See, it's very easy.
Right. Out of the three of us, I think one of us have got more chance.
I know,
than
I have. I know. It's reality in the making. I know.
Correct. Nathan Caton, what a wonderful thing to have you on the show. Thank you for coming on. We'll have you on again if you don't mind.
He's going off with nightmares now from what you've been talking about, Terry, all day. He's going off with nightmares.
What, penises?
Yeah. You know what I'm going to Google today?
Oh, yeah. Big penises. It's Keith Dublin's knob. Right. Anyway, thanks for listening, everyone. You can get us on Twitter, JP and Teague Football. No, just at JP and Teague Football. Once again, thanks for coming on, Nathan. Thank you, Jonathan Pearce. And thank you, Paul Daniels, who is the producer, who never says anything, just sits there quietly. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.